Welcome to the Kriya Yoga Podcast, a source of inspiration and actionable education for those inspired towards the goal of enlightenment through yogic meditation. Through these interviews, discussions, and reflections, it is my intention to share the possibility of waking up to the reality of self and God realization, and to remind you of the immortal words of Paramahansa Yogananda. Don't look back. Don't look to the left or to the right. Look straight ahead to the goal and go all the way in this lifetime. I'm Ryan Kurzak, and I'll be your host on this adventure of spiritual self-discovery. Welcome back, everyone, to the Kriya Yoga Podcast. I'm here with a very special guest, a longtime student of Roy Eugene Davis, and also a teacher in the Kriya Yoga tradition, Harold Reiske. Harold and Marlies have a Kriya Yoga Center in Germany, and you can find out more about them at www.kriya-yoga.de. Harold has been serving as a teacher in the Kriya Yoga tradition and studying with Mr. Davis for over 40 years. Harold and Marlies offer seminars, they translate Roy Eugene Davis's books, and they also publish a regular newsletter. So I highly encourage you to get in touch with them if you're in that part of the world. But I'd like to thank you for being with us today, Harold. It's wonderful to see you.
Hello, nice to be with you here. Thank you for the opportunity to share some ideas with you.
I know we've met a few times, once at a Kriya Yoga Congress, and then once at Center for Spiritual Awareness, and I do wish we had spent more time together, but now we've got this opportunity to talk. And so I just have a few questions for you. And the first question is, how did you discover Kriya Yoga? And what was your experience like learning from Mr. Davis?
Well, the way of discovering Kriya Yoga seems to me to be quite a normal way, because it always happens with reading the autobiography of a yogi, of Yoganandaji. It was then in the 1970s, there was only one esoteric magazine in Germany. So just by divine coincidence, I would say, I came across the autobiography, which was mentioned there. And my and our soul yearning actually started. And in 1977, there was an ad in the same magazine, Disciple of Yoganandaji, for the first time here in Germany. And so it was a must-have. Actually, we attended the first seminar of Roy, and we had a first encounter. And what is interesting here, we immediately sensed the spiritual communion. We realized from the very first moment that there was a spiritual bond. And we knew we had found our guru. For the second part of your question, the learning experience, I would say, of course, a lot of questions arose at the beginning. And it wasn't just that easy to follow Roy's advice when he said, just read my books and start a basic daily routine. So we started studying his books. There was only one German book translation at that time. It was the translation of the book, This is Reality, Macht der Seele. So we first had to start to get familiar with the English spiritual vocabulary to understand his original literature. And it was, of course, a big challenge, new ideas, new thoughts, which demanded a new understanding. And years later, we started with regular Lake Mont visits and seminars there. And we found his advice very useful, which when he said, stay in tune with me, use a basic routine, study meditation, everything. That was, we found it's very useful. And even more important for us was the experience when we noticed that Roy himself lived what he taught. and that he actually was a living example of teaching.
Excellent, thank you. What advice would you give to a new Kriya Yoga practitioner to help encourage success on their own self-realization path?
Well, as a teacher, I was a teacher for 40 years, I always could observe a kind of normal, common development when starting a new activity. First, there is enthusiasm, best intentions, a lot of goodwill with the student. And gradually, there happens a decline of enthusiasm. Therefore, my advice, use the big motivation at the beginning. Turn the straw fire into a big, steady flame. Stay with the recommendations, stick to it, and develop a habit. Remember Patanjali, chapter 2, Kriya Yoga consists of self-discipline, meditation, study, and surrender our ego to God. So it's important to monitor the thoughts, feelings, and activities to eliminate non-useful activities. To sum up, make it short, do your best and leave the rest to God, Roy often said. Let go and let God. The student should develop a special composure, which is, I am an immortal spiritual being, here now blessed and guided in all my ways. In other words, the devotee should practice to constantly maintain an awareness of the presence of God and his ever-present blessings in life. And very important here is to stay in touch with the spiritual teacher and the authentic teaching. I remember the advice of Roy, which he actually got from Paramahansa Yoganandaji, when he said, in the beginning, only read my writings to consolidate the basic understanding, to become grounded in truth, to lay a foundation for further development and spiritual growth. And last but not least, never give up. And remember the statement of Lahiri Mahasaya, do it, one day it's done. Really a truly noble goal to awaken in God.
The next question that I have is, what does self-realization mean to you?
Well, a difficult question, actually. Of course, first of all, the traditional view and understanding, but it, I would say, not only to understand, but to experience the nature of our true being. We should try to experience, at least in steps, the liberation of consciousness, which allows a clear understanding of the laws of consciousness, become free, and or being released of the bonds of our inner programs, and therefore being able to gain control over our human nature as much as possible. And not to forget that we might be able to understand God's work in the creation and in our lives, to become aware of our role while living here in this incarnation. To sum up, it means, I understand it in this way, that we are more and more aware of his ever-present guidance and blessing.
Yeah, thank you. So this next question, it might be a little long, but I definitely look forward to hearing what you have to say. So as you look back over the years of your own dedicated practice and working with students, what are very common obstacles that most students have trouble with? And what advice would you give to resolve those or that obstacle?
As I've already mentioned before, most students have a great start when they encounter the Kriya path for the very first time. They usually already have read the autobiography and are fully motivated. But then they fall into the trap of different stages, which happen when dealing with a new experience. I need to expand a little on that. I often explain this also to my students at university in the subject of intercultural understanding. There are five steps which happen there. I would say you can compare the spiritual path with an emigration into a foreign country. One can find the same stages of development which apply to the way when people emigrate. By encountering a new culture, the first stage is usually the tourist stage. When we come into a new country for the very first time, we find everything wonderful. We are enthusiastic about what we see and experience. Everything appears quite positive. The people in the new culture are very nice. The stage can last for months or maybe only a couple of days. It is called the tourist stage because tourists generally do not stay in a different place long enough to be able to look beyond the surface. And that is why the stage is also called the honeymoon stage, because we possibly are on cloud nine then. Imagine a wonderful hotel at the seaside or a view into the incredible Grand Canyon. Now, doesn't this remind us of the beginning of our own spiritual path? We had read the autobiography of a yogi or one of Roy's books. We were so happy to have met the guru, to now know the truth which shall make us free. The new ideas were so much better than our own traditional beliefs. We were full of enthusiasm and were firmly resolved to follow the path till the enlightened goal. But if we have made a positive experience with a new country, respectively with a new teaching, there follows a second stage now. We want to repeat the positive experience. We want to continue it. That means we visit the place again. That is, we continue our spiritual path with joyous anticipation. But when we come to a foreign country repeatedly or stay longer than usual, we suddenly see other sides we have not noticed before. Instead of the striking beauty of a desert, we see the barren land with its dryness and so on. Here people suddenly may get preoccupied with certain issues which might disturb their mind, while the honeymoon filter has vanished. Because of this, they can experience frustration and a stage which is called a cultural shock. At some place on our spiritual journey, we also may possibly arrive at a stage like this, may have problems and frustrations. We suddenly may have the feeling that there is no progress. Others perhaps confirm this and say they also have made no progress and even claim they have found something better on the New Age market. Close friends who think traditionally influence us and have a serious word with us. We possibly begin to doubt the new teaching. Well, how can we overcome the obstacles of doubt and skepticism at this stage? I already mentioned before, I think it's really essential to stay in touch with the teacher. It is also important at this point not to give up. It shows if our enthusiasm only was a straw fire, a honeymoon phase. It is important now to stay on the path, to faithfully continue with our spiritual practices, and to trust. And thus to be open to the invisible help of God and the gurus. We experience somehow a kind of a learning plateau here. We sometimes have the feeling that progress has stopped. But there is a realization in the scientific theory of learning that progress does not happen permanently in a rising graph. Progress happens in steps. Between them, there is a plateau, a tableland. And this plateau is necessary as a stage to stabilize the new knowledge through practice and to collect strength for the jump onto the new higher level. That is why a master used to advise people, learn to love the plateau and continue your practice on a regular basis. Stick to the spiritual recommendations. Because only then one can overcome the stage. And it is necessary to be able to advance to the next step on the spiritual emigration process. Because if the last stage was too hard, one will not get to the next step of adjustment. Back to my example. If you decide to stay in the new country, we eventually learn to deal with the differences. We try to integrate the new culture with our own beliefs. We begin to learn a language and make more friends. We have an occasional crisis, but one develops a positive attitude toward it. It is a period of adjustment, while this is called the adjustment stage. Now, in regard of spiritual matters, it is necessary here to continue our practices on a regular basis. We have to learn the new art of living, I would say, and to use it, to do it. That means that we should apply faithfully what we have been told. We have to be conscious and aware in the every situations. How do I think, feel, and act in the arena of daily battles? Here is our test field, and it is not about what we know. Not only knowledge is demanded here, but right action, how we react to what we know. This is the way of Kriya Yoga. Remember, Kriya means action. Do you think, feel, and act, for example, as the masters would do in a certain situation? Or will you fall back on the traps of your ordinary mind habits? Important seems to me here, don't try to integrate the new knowledge with your old beliefs. Remember what Jesus said, you cannot fill new wine into old skin bags. It is necessary here to discard old habits and replace them with right attitude and right action. To conclude this question, it reminds me of Yoganandaji when he said, you have to live anyway, why not in the highest way possible? As awakened spiritual being and aware of your spiritual potential. Because when we complete all these ideas here, we come to the stage of acceptance or the level of acculturation. We live with a new culture, with the new ideas, and a similar process happens with spiritual paths. Here the students lives the guidelines, applies them as a matter of course, and grows into the level where he automatically lives the new understanding. Now, this can lead to problems because the new behavior of the student, I've experienced that often and heard that often by students, because as I often say, that the new behavior, the spiritual behavior, is sometimes like a silent accusation for the peer group. The peers cannot, and sometimes they don't want to tolerate it. And as we have to live with them in the neighborhood, there's a problem. It reminds me of a devotee at a Kriya seminar who once said to me, Somehow I feel beyond the wrong place here on this planet. Don't you often think it's the same? Of course, personal growth into maturity is a big challenge, but it offers us opportunity to practice the spiritual values. Now, I nearly forgot it. The main thing here, the final stage in the psychological acculturation process, there is a final stage and it's called the re-entry shock. I think it's very important to know this. It's the shock of coming back home. You return from your time in another country and everybody is happy to see you again. The only problem is that you have changed, a lot in ways they have not. And they don't understand that you have changed and why you have changed. You almost feel a stranger in your own culture. I would say that's a problem many students, many devotees experience. But despite of the seeming similarity, we must act and feel differently at this stage when we are on the spiritual path. And I would say there is no need to come back into the home of ordinary human consciousness to its habits and painful consequences. It is necessary here to have understanding and compassion here for our fellow men at this stage. We are advised to be fully conscious of our true nature and also of their true nature. It's a big challenge, but it's important to know this.
The next question I have is, when you reflect on your time studying with Mr. Davis, what memories stand out as being the most meaningful or impactful on your own spiritual development?
Well, there is first of all the memory of the very first initiation with Roy. Of course, it was a very uplifting moment in our lives. But you asked what was impactful. It was the words Roy used when I stood in front of him. He looked into my eyes and said, "I acknowledge you as a divine being." Nobody had said this before to me. You know, people mostly call you by your name or even say, "You're so goofy." But here somebody acknowledged me and my wife Molly's in a higher way, which stirred our soul memory. And a similar thing happened later. After another initiation, I even have this impression in written form. I had asked Roy to sign my private copy of the autobiography, and still you can read what he wrote. Very impactful. "Be more than human, be divine." What an inspiration, what a challenge. What a commitment. Beside of that, I must admit that during the 40 years we have known him, he always was an extremely positive role model for us and all devotees. And another advice comes into my mind now. I often remember when giving a lecture, we should not proselytize. We have to awaken people through our teaching and above all, through our behavior and example. And in addition to that, he often said, strive to maintain every day an uplifting, enlightened consciousness. And at least then this as a silent blessing into your world. Well, I think this could also be a precious advice for every devotee on the spiritual path.
And finally, you know, I've appreciated the time that we've been able to spend together, but do you have any final thoughts to our listeners on the podcast?
Oh, well, I recall an interesting incident which happened some time ago. We were visiting a famous cathedral in Germany. We were overwhelmed by the architecture, wonderful clerical art, and greatness of that building. But in a very special moment, we were reminded of a spiritual path. It happened in a corner of that wonderful cathedral, where an opportunity for a spiritual advice was offered. We could not withstand to draw a so-called inspirational thought from a wooden box. It was a line from Romans 11, verse 29, which said, "Irrevocable are grace and vocation." This verse immediately struck a chord within us. My wife Marlies and I immediately referred it to the spiritual path, and later we began to reflect on it more, and we started to discuss the meaning of it. What is grace, really? Is it something we have to work for, something we have to earn, to acquire through prayer, labor, and good actions? No. No, we have learned you cannot create, acquire, or earn a spiritual condition. A spiritual condition is something within us, something unchangeable, something we are already, something that has to be acknowledged and eventually has to be released. The masters tell us that there is something within us, something we already are. It is grace which already is here. Grace is the ever-present activity of God's Spirit working freely, expressive within us and pervading the whole creation, the power of God. And this grace is irrevocable. We should contemplate this in our meditations. And also, the second part of statement. Let's try to feel the call, the vocation to be a real spiritual disciple, a servant of God, no matter who we are and where you are. Let's follow the inner calling in an attitude of knowing of ever-present grace and with gratefulness. Let us know that there is a power that nourishes you and us and runs the universe in divine order. Have you really understood what real, what true calling means? A calling to be the person we were born to be? The term person means mask. Look behind the mask and throw it away. Listen to the inner answer to the question, who am I really? Grace is obvious when this question is followed by the answer, you are created in the image and likeness of God. You are a divine being. Awake to your true divine identity. We all on the spiritual path are called to awaken to our true nature and respond to irrevocable inner grace, calling, and guidance. Om and Namaste.
Thank you very much, Harold. It was wonderful to speak with you today. And I just want to let people know that if they'd like to get in touch with you and Marlies in Germany, the website once again is www.kriya-yoga.de. Harold Marlies offer seminars, and they're a wonderful resource to learn Kriya Yoga from. And as I've mentioned, I wish I'd been able to spend more time with you when you've been in the United States, but maybe if we make a trip to Germany, we'll be able to meet up. Either way, I'd like to thank you for being here, and it was really a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. I wish you all the best and good success on your teaching and on your presentation.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll be in touch.